Well, hello there. Welcome back. I'm not all by myself today. I'm super excited about that. So welcome back to episode 7 of the podcast of Cirque du Psyche, Circus of the Mind, where I just vomit forth and ramble like I've been doing for the last minute or so. So I am your host, Tanner, the Cosmic Potato Farmy, and with me once again is my producer across from me on the Apache panel once again. Because I didn't want to be, it was a little scary, is Monica, the indubitable Space Fox. What's up over there?
Hey, I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah.
Are you excited to be back?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Jeez.
You missed me, apparently.
We're not going to make it very far, apparently.
You sounded desperate last week.
I wasn't desperate.
I was
just weird being up here. It was dark. It was cold. I was just talking all into the atmosphere all by myself. It's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What, any news over there?
I mean, we survived without you for a few days.
Yeah.
Amir was in tears by the last night.
Who's Amir?
Our youngest child.
Yeah, I was about to say, we know who Amir is.
Yeah.
It was cool.
He missed daddy.
It was cool, but it got really boring. You can only watch so many movies and read so many books and eat so many steaks and sweet potatoes.
Yeah. We ate a pack of chicken breasts for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really good, though.
Mm-hmm. At least we had food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Food to eat. Warm spot to sleep in. Yep, so we all survived.
Yep.
We're back at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think today was officially the last day that snow is on the ground.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll all be gone tomorrow.
Ooh, there was some on the mulch pile out in the garden.
Yeah.
Earlier. It's probably not there no more. It's warm today.
I'm so glad it's gone.
Yeah.
Went walking in it. I told you, I walked about a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I did like 20 miles.
Yeah.
Knee hurt, my back hurt, feet hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Getting old. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Is this where we create the dead air?
Yeah, we have dead air this time.
What were you about to say? You're about to say something.
I was going
to
say, we actually have a topic and somewhat plan.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been doing okay with that. You always want to like, you're always like, okay, shut up. We're going to do the topic now.
Let's go.
It's like, why can't we just talk?
Because I talk to you enough.
Wow. Wow.
Without recording it.
Wow. Wow.
Well.
Anyway. You know, got nothing exciting to share over there? Personal stories or anything you want to talk about? No news items?
Why do you have to put me on the spot?
This is what we do here. It's what we do here.
Man.
Have you forgotten what we do here?
Oh,
you miss
gosh.
One podcast and it's like, oh, I'm new. You know, because we're seven deep. We're pros now.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything.
Wow.
Wow.
Nothing?
Wow.
A new president?
Yeah. That.
I mean, you know. Nothing to share from there. No exciting happenings there. Are you excited about it?
Half and half.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Half and half. I'm not. He's not a savior by any means, but at least he's not a dementia patient.
Mm.
You know, walking corpse. The guy from the front mental listening today say he's a dementia patient that has access to nuclear codes.
Yeah,
it's pretty much a dead person.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I guess there's not a whole lot that would be better than that. Anyway. Yeah. So you're just looking at me like, let's go. I got to edit this. So if it was up to you to podcast, it'd be like 20 minutes long.
Dude. No. If I had to edit an hour down to 20 minutes, is that what you mean? Or
no, like if we just did 20 minutes. Oh. You're looking at me like, shut up.
Yeah, this is all going to have to get edited.
So? No, it doesn't. You can leave it in there. Anyway. So we actually have a guest today, our first guest. And he's going to weigh in for probably about 34 seconds on the topic we have today.
Yeah.
What is our topic? What are we talking about today?
Small business.
Small businesses. Mm-hmm. Businesses that are small. Anyway. No?
You didn't introduce him.
I'll introduce you. So we have here our middle son. He's 11-ish? 11, right? 11?
Yeah.
He's 11. Yeah, you're 11, right?
I think so.
Anyway, Our middle son, Everett, he's 11. He's got a little small business, right? Mm-hmm. You want to say hello over there?
Hello. Yeah.
He's all nervous.
We told him he couldn't be silly and goofy.
If it was up to him, he would just, the whole podcast be him making weird noises. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, you have a small business.
Yep.
What is your small business?
Egg business.
Egg business? Like, what do you do with the eggs?
I sell them.
What kind of eggs?
Chicken eggs.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to that?
No.
All right, we'll get there.
He gets it from me.
Yeah, we'll get there. You get edit when we get to you. You can explain it a little better. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, man. Who invited this guy?
You did. You thought it was going to be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. We'll see. Maybe just edit your entire segment out. No. Anyway, so yeah. Small businesses. We actually got the idea to talk about this from some friends of ours who own a small business. One of our favorite small businesses in town, the coffee shop, Colleton Coffee. Jesse and her sister Mandy.
Shout out.
They actually own two small businesses right there in
they
town.
They do.
Twig. Well, how would you call that, a boutique?
A little boutique.
Boutique-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff for men in there, though. I got a cool hoodie from there.
Yeah.
And they got some, a little men's section.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's not all boutique-y and girly. Smells really good in there. Smells good in a coffee shop, too, though.
Yeah. It smells like books and coffee.
Yeah, books and coffee. It's awesome. They got really good books, too. But anyway, so we're talking to Jesse. Well, I hope that they don't mind us using their names.
Yeah.
It's just first names.
Yeah, it's first names.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you can find them on Facebook and know their names.
And go meet them, which we highly suggest. Go to their shops.
Yeah.
They're amazing. They're super awesome people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking to her. And we have in our little town here a monthly event, I guess you could call it, happening, a to-do.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a small town thing to have, say it? The do?
The do?
The do? The no. To-do? Going no. To the do?
Don't do that.
No? Too old timey.
No. Yeah, a little bit.
No, we have on our main street shuts down every first. Is it first Thursday?
First Thursday.
First
yeah,
Thursday.
It's Call next it, week.
It's called First Thursday. So the first Thursday of every month, we shut our little main street down and all the shops stay open later. And people have like little vendor tables out there, sell things and whatnot. Mm. My friend Jesse, who runs the coffee shop, has been asked to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
Which we're excited about because she's super passionate about the town and growing the businesses and whatnot and bodily function. Yeah, so we're excited about it. She's excited about it. But we're talking to her, and she was voicing some concerns, giving us a little insight into, like, little city council and the people involved and stuff, and it's not really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to put that out there. She is.
Yeah.
She is. I'd say she's a very forward thinker.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not grandiose into the point to where she wants us to be the next, you know, big city.
Mm-hmm.
She wants community.
Yeah.
Right? A good local community, but, you know, also outside business is important for small businesses and things of that nature.
Yep.
Right? But, yeah, she was talking about how, I don't know who she took it from. I don't know who ran it.
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. She's doing it now. But she was talking about the kind of the roadblocks, I guess you could say, of getting things going, like getting some flyers printed up, things yeah. like that, and just the whiny mess of people who were previously involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of how you took it?
Yeah.
Right? So she's just kind of cutting through some, I wouldn't say red tape. How would you describe that? Cutting through some... Just some...
The political...
Yeah, not really political. No. Just the local...
Yeah, I don't know.
We're a small town. It's all the good old boy system. It's, you know, just how we always done it, whatever type of thing. And I don't know. New is scary. Change is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is. But, I mean, it's not really changing. I just think it's going to get better.
Yeah.
It could get better because... previously, it was like, you go to one first Thursday, I saw one.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's going to be the same. right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling I got from it. The Christmas one was cool because it was all Christmassy. The Grinch was there. Got a picture with the Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
Everett got to punch him in his stomach, right?
Yeah.
Get closer to your mic.
Yeah, talking to the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he punched the Grinch in the stomach.
Yeah.
The Grinch, I felt his abs.
Yeah, the Grinch asked him to do it, and he was pretty ripped.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was cool. That was a little different. But the ones leading up to that, they kind of the
Halloween.
Same thing.
Halloween was a big one.
I don't think I went to Halloween.
No, you didn't, but it was a big one because they had like a trick-or-treat type thing.
So like the holiday-specific ones, but like if there's not a holiday or anything to celebrate in that month, they're all just kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes very small and very quiet because people are trying to get business, I guess, and trying to feed off of the holiday-ness of that whatever, but... I think she's going to do a lot of good, and but it just got us thinking. Her telling us some things, giving us some insight. So I got to thinking. I used to be a small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
You are trying to start a small business.
Yeah.
And Everett, the Eggman / Chicken Wrangler, that's actually on his business card, he is a small business owner / runner of said small business, right?
Yep.
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 Yeah, so various stages of small business. man, bodily functions. Let me get a little sip of the H2O real quick. You got anything to add while I take the sippage over here?
No, but I'm going to laugh at you the whole time.
Refreshing. So anyway, yeah, so we're like all different stages of the small business world. The farm we work for, I wouldn't really say it was a small business.
Mm-mm.
It's really, I wouldn't really describe that as a business at all.
No.
Really? Just private. We run a private farm, but kind of a small business feel.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. But anyway, so I got thinking about small business. To me, small businesses are the backbone of America.
Mm-hmm.
Small businesses really built this country.
Yeah.
And like everything that I think of and do and wish for and go back to the old West.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you had people move out and migrate to this new area. They want to start a town. Well, the first thing they didn't do was go, well, let's get the government out here and tell us what to do. No, they opened small businesses, a blacksmith, a barbershop, saloon, general store, you know, the livery, which was usually part of the blacksmith kind of area. What else was there? A gun shop, boot store, maybe, all kind of stuff. Ladies stores, I'm sure, if the town was big enough.
Mm-hmm.
A church.
Yeah.
Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hotel, like little restaurants and whatnot, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was small businesses that built these areas and stuff, and it wasn't until the government got involved that everything started to suck, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so... So you think of small businesses back then, people said, okay, I want to be, oh, we forgot the doctor, old Doc Burridge.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have a duck. But not all towns did. Sometimes, you know, only one town did and you had to travel. But anyway, I like Westerns. So people had an idea for, let's just say, a general store. General store is the one that kind of fascinates me the most, right? And because of that is... You think about today's society and the whole thing. Well, I need a grocery store. We need to pay taxes to fix the roads and what. You know what I mean? Just we need government involvement in everything to live our daily lives. That's how people see today. Well, no, the general store is one that fascinated me because if a town grew enough and was successful enough to have a thriving general store, it was kind of the hub of that town. Because some people might live right there around town. Some people might move off a few miles and have a ranch or whatever. And whatever they couldn't produce themselves or whatever they needed, clothing items or whatever, they would come to the general store. And the general store would order off for it, get stuff in, right?
Yeah.
And so it pulled from the more, quote unquote, civilized and established areas of the eastern part of America that already had thriving stuff like that. And it came out west, and that's how they were, they got their stuff that they could make or produce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the surrounding areas, right? Like, say there's a town 10, 15 miles away, didn't have a general store.
Yeah.
Well, they could come into to the general store here, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people passing through, like there's a railroad spur there, or someone traveling on horseback or wagon, the stagecoach came through and they can resupply. It literally just kept everything going.
Yeah.
Right? And this is fascinating to me because there was no big grocery stores. There was no big postal services, everything. I don't know. Does that make sense? Am I making sense right mm-hmm. now? Yeah.
It was just picturing the rifleman every time you're talking about this little town. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it was still a small business. One person or a family owned it, right? Or like some siblings or something. Whoever decided to move in and make that general store work, it was a small business. It wasn't run by a corporation and different branches. They didn't branch out from whatever out of the east somewhere. And you know what I mean? It was a small business.
Yeah.
But it helped the town keep going, supplied to other small businesses. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now small businesses today, of course, are highly regulated. You got to do all kind of, you got to jump through some hoops and do some things and pay a bunch of money to start a business.
Yeah.
And back in the day, it was just, this is what I want to do. I want to start the business. I got a little bit of money to supply what I need to get it going. And you put it out there and you let the market decide if that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why you see in like Westerns and read books about that era, there was a lot of the same type of businesses because it was what was needed in those areas to keep the town alive and functioning and thriving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So back then, if I was going to say, hey, I'm going to open a, what kind of business would not do good in the West back then?
You?
I'm just saying, like, if I wanted to open something weird. Like
weird?
Just like you think, what, you know, the stuff that was needed back then. And then mm-hmm. I come in and say, oh, I'm moving into this town. I'm going to open a collector's, like an antique store or something. You know what I mean? It just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well, okay, nobody says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the market might say, oh, nobody wants this. Nobody needs this. This, you know, and the market will decide, well, this business isn't going to do good. You're either going to change your business model or go somewhere that's going to work, right? Well, the market, I wouldn't say doesn't. It's not allowed to nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Because the government says whether you can do business or not.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you have a good idea and you look at the data for whatever area or whatever, and you think, okay, this would be a really good need here. I've spent some time here. I think it's be a good idea. And then you try to open it and then somebody in the bureaucracy says, yeah, I'm not going to approve this for whatever reason or the other. And then your business fails before it even starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Unless you're a gas station, a storage unit, mm-hmm. or you sell little sheds or a car wash.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's really any one of those, you're going to make it anywhere pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what we see around here
mm-hmm.
everywhere. So my small business, I used to teach CWP, concealed weapons permits training. Mm-hmm. And I did some private gun training and stuff like that. And to teach the permitting side of it, I had to have all the stuff. I had to have the EIN number, the text, all that, blah, blah, blah. And it was... It was so miserable to the point to where I think it's designed for most people to be like, I'm not waiting through this. I'm sick of cutting red tape. I'm not even going to try.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go get a corporate job somewhere and fall in line. I mean, it was unnecessarily bureaucratic.
Yeah.
And I had it for, several years? And it was like a part-time gig. I still had a full-time job, and it was fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this was right when Trump's first presidency, when he cut all those regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even until then that I can even afford to start a little side gig small business.
Because
before the previous ding-dong that was in the White House made it so miserable, the regulations on small businesses and everything, taxes are so high and everything, it wasn't even worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what's the point? But if it wasn't for the government's involvement, anybody could just start a business and a market would decide if you're going to survive or not. Mm-hmm. This is how it's supposed to be, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So I did it for a few years. It was fun. I liked it. And then we made a move, and my range got destroyed by a tornado, and I didn't feel like building it back, so I got out of it. It was fun while it lasted. I had big hopes and dreams one time of going full-time with it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so miserable and sad that when it didn't happen, I was all, you know, it was almost like a hobby, really. Mm-hmm. Really, it was fun. And, yeah, so anyway. But just the time and the stupidity of the bureaucracy for me to even start that was absolutely ridiculous, right? And I feel like that's what Jesse is kind of going up against a little bit, is that everybody's so overregulated and the bureaucracy is just beating everybody, and that you got to fit into this small window and you got to do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't want none of your newfangled fancy ideas to make things better. How dare you make things better for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like that's what she was telling us. That's kind of the feeling I got.
Yeah.
Right. So that was my business.
Yeah.
So your business hadn't even got off the ground yet.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll talk about that in a minute. So I've been there, I did the whole range of everything, the official, right? I had to do the EIN. I had to get the all the numbers and the official, all that stuff. Had to get permission from my state. And everything. I had to do all the training for the licenses and blah, 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 right? So I went full deep dive on this. So what you doing over there?
He's bored? Stretching.
Getting bored?
No.
You ready to talk?
Yeah.
All right. So Everett is, he is our current small business owner. So explain what it is you do exactly. You're an egg man. So you raise chickens for eggs,
mm-hmm.
and you sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Am I explaining this, or are you?
Use your big boy words.
Yeah. So anyway, how did you start your business? So you had an idea, right?
Yeah.
So walk us through it. Tell us about it. Tell us why you thought you should start an egg business.
It's simple.
Make
money. And the chickens also help you as well.
Okay. Well, look here. That was actually perfect. You simple and make money. That's what small businesses should actually really be about, and providing a service. Like you said, the chickens provide a service. And well, I guess you did too. You got to collect the eggs and feed them, right? Mm-hmm. But it's simple, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What else? I mean, so how's it going? Tell us about it.
Good.
Is your business booming?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good?
Yeah.
So he's got really young chickens, so the cold hasn't really affected them too much as far as the egg-laying production.
Yeah, so chickens usually stop laying in the cold months.
Yeah.
I get like 17 a day.
17? Yeah. You've got like 20-ish plus hens.
20 now because...
So I want to hear from you. The reason I ask you on here is because you have a small business. You're a kid,
mm-hmm.
all right? You haven't had to go through any bureaucratic stupidity yet. So how long ago did you start? About 2 years ago, right? Wasn't about that?
I think so.
About 2 years ago. We weren't even working on the farm yet.
Mm-mm.
I was still driving the old fuel truck. It was probably about 3 years ago because we've been here pushing 3 years now.
Yeah.
So anyway... So you started your business, let's just say, 3-ish years ago, right? So how did it go at first? How were things at first?
Not that well, but since I grew everything, I started getting more and more. And then not too long ago, I got my first call.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So what, do you remember what I told you when you first started your business about time? Probably not.
No.
So it takes, on average... 2 to 3 years for you to start getting recognition and business and stuff. Do you feel like you've turned a corner this year to where your business is picking up a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sold a lot of eggs this year.
Yeah. This year? We're still in January.
Well, you said this year also.
Yeah. 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 But I'm just saying, like, so January, I mean, just from the start of the year, I feel like you've probably done more business than you have in like the last year, probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you see this going? Where do you see these? Do you think you're going to expand into anything or just stick with eggs or you know, like a delivery service or incubation? What do you see? I mean, where do you got like a business model per se?
Okay, so there's eggs that's going well, but maybe like incubating eggs and selling baby chicks. Have you gotten the egg permit? Make like a stand.
Hold on, let's not talk about bureaucratic stuff just yet.
Okay. Not yet.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. So just right now, like, what do you see? Like, what's your future goals? Like, do you think this is a sustainable business to take into your adulthood and that you can actually support yourself through an egg business?
I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're only 11 years old and you got a little bit of time to think about it. So the egg license.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you sell eggs right now, how do you got to do it?
I don't know.
So in South Carolina, you have to have an egg license, which is free, right?
Also and it's stupid.
Yes, very. But it's also lifetime. You get it, which makes no sense to me. Okay, yeah. So the way the law is regulated is that you can come to my house and you can buy eggs from Everett. You can load your truck up with as many eggs as you want and buy eggs. Perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take the same exact eggs off my property to your house and sell them, all of a sudden it's magically illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get this egg license, which is free and it lasts your entire life, you can sell them wherever you want. Now, how does that make sense? In your 11-year-old mind, why do you think that exists? If it's free, it lasts a lifetime. Why is it even there? What's the purpose of it?
I don't even know because it's just the same thing, but you just got a paper or something. Just prove it. I don't.
Sorry, that was the cat jumping up here. I did get evicted. So the license is basically it's you registering the fact that you sell eggs and it opens the door for more regulations. They want to know what you're doing. They got to have you get it. It's got to be their business, right? Do you agree with that?
No.
No? Why?
I don't know.
Do you want the government to know about your egg business? Do you think they should know? Do you think that they should get a cut of your business?
No.
Yeah, well, enjoy it while it lasts.
Oh.
No, yeah, so the egg business is, I mean, the egg license is there just so your local government can put you on a list, and if at any time they can come inspect you.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens up doors for a lot of other stupid stuff, like the ways you have to handle your eggs, store your eggs. And if you read into it, they have no clue how to handle and store eggs.
Mm-mm.
But they're going to force you to do it their way, even though they don't understand anything about an egg and a chicken's biology.
Yeah.
Right? Do you understand a chicken's biology and the egg?
Not really.
Yes, you do.
Oh.
Yes, you do. What's a bloom?
The protection of an egg?
The protective layer of an egg. Do you know where it comes from? That's where the egg comes from. But where's the bloom come from? How is it put on the egg?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
How is it put on the egg?
The chicken does it.
Hold on. So you're telling me that the chicken who produces this egg in its body also produces a protective layer? It's what? The government didn't put it there?
No.
The chicken did it. And it's completely protected from the elements when it comes out of the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. The government didn't put it there.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine one wing an egg and some secret agent comes out and
paints it.
Yeah.
Paints it.
But that's what people think. Mm-hmm. Eggs aren't safe unless the government gets involved. But you know what they want? What do they want you to do with the bloom?
wash it off with bleach.
They want you to scrub it off with bleach, which then opens up the egg to salmonella and other nasty stuff.
They also don't last as long.
Exactly, yeah. So with the bloom, you can set eggs on your counter for, what, 6 months? 3 to 6 months? Depending on the temperature in your house.
3-ish months.
Yeah, let's set them out there. And then you can refrigerate them with the bloom for six months.
6 months, yeah.
But if you scrub the bloom off, they last a fraction of the time.
Like yeah. 2 months.
Yeah, at best. Yeah. And it's just, dude, the chicken provides everything that the egg needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, it might be a little dirty or something. You wash the dirt off, right? Like the visible dirt and stuff, just but the like bloom's still there. Right, yeah, with a paper towel. But they want you to scrub your eggs with bleach.
Mm-hmm.
With bleach.
Yep.
And then that's okay. Then after we scrub our eggs with bleach, take off the natural protective layer that keeps it perfectly fine and healthy for anybody to eat, then we can sell them to people off of our property.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Because the government said so. Right?
Yeah.
So are you excited to get your egg license? No.
No.
No, the answer is no.
Just say no, kid.
I wouldn't even worry about getting one.
Yeah, he's been doing fine.
We're rebel farmers. Come at me. But yeah, it's just all it's there. I mean, it's free. It lasts a lifetime as long as you play by the rules.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, if he ever wanted to sell eggs at the farmer's market, he'd have to have that egg license and, you know.
So.
Wink, wink, clean his eggs.
Right. So that right there. Okay. You started as Everett the Eggman from your house. Okay, I want to go to the farmer's market, open up my customer base a little more. Oh, I can't do that unless I have an egg license. Well, I got to jump through all these hoops, the bureaucratic red tape, and I got to make my eggs the way they want me to do it, but I don't want to do that. So the government just effectively killed another small business.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's really about?
Mm.
Is that what it's really about?
No.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh.
Did you not hear the question?
He's drifting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really what it's about. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the government killing your dreams before you're even an adult?
I don't like it.
Hmm. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
Well,
no,
yeah.
Sir. I don't like it.
Like it.
Yeah. So let's talk about Mama's small business. Mama is Monica, who is Everett's mother.
Mom?
You were Everett's mother.
Oh.
All right. So you have a business idea.
Yeah.
And it's based off of a passion of yours, which is amazingly how most small businesses start. Right?
I'm like, where is he going with this?
That's how most businesses come to fruition. People have a passion, something they would want to go to work and do. And not go sit in an office or drive a truck or do something they don't want to do. But then the government says, no.
Yeah.
No, thank you. They probably talk real creepy like that, too.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So tell us about, I'm not the government. So tell us about, hold on, let's rewind. Are you getting bored? Would you like to be released from the podcast?
No.
Are you still hanging in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
What, you had your hand up. Were you trying to say something?
Yeah. Well, I talked to Kelly, and she said if I get some business cards, I could put some of my leather in it.
Who is Kelly?
You can't throw out random names.
Hold up. Who is Kelly? What does she do?
Does she run a small business?
She runs a small business. Wow, it's everywhere. And she says that she will work with you to help you with your small business. Right?
His mind is blown.
Mine is too. Small businesses everywhere. Anyway, you said what she let you do?
Put some my leather making.
Leather making, which is another business idea that he's working on. Yeah.
I still have to get the business cards.
Yeah.
We'll work on that off the air.
Okay.
You don't need to discuss things like that on air.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you going to stay here?
Yeah. What are we getting into?
We're talking about Mama here in a second, so just be quiet over there.
Okay.
Don't make any noise. Be still. No, so you have a business idea.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about it? That means you got to talk.
Yeah. So I like to make like salves and creams and oils and all the, you know, homesteader type
so
fun
it can
things.
Fall under the blanket of herbalism.
Herbalism.
Apothecary.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like anything like homemade type things. Home items.
Homemade.
I know that, but like what kind of store?
Oh, like if you had to name it,
yeah.
Like if you had to have a store, it's an apothecary.
Well, it's not just going to be an apothecary though.
Herbalism, apothecary.
It's going to be more than that.
Like what? Tell us. You got to give us more details.
I was thinking like homemade breads.
Well,
or...
yeah, there you go. Some edible items.
Gosh.
Well, that kind of goes into what another small business idea that we had is opening a homestead store.
Yeah.
People, not just us, but other people who produce things like that and don't want to necessarily deal with internets and stuff, and they can bring their items to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but you that's what you're talking about, like on a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
Just you at first.
Yeah. Because we, like you just said, having other people bring their items to one store, you'd have to worry about leasing and like booth rentals, and that gets a little...
Because of the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
You can't just open a store and provide a service.
Yeah.
Without asking permission.
Yeah.
And then paying a bunch of taxes and overhead on the back end.
Yeah.
Thanks, government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They know better. It's for our own good.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all you had to say about your business?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's like, so where do you see it going? So right now, you're just making things at home.
I am.
You're selling a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now, you're just kind of experimenting, making things, giving some things away to friends.
Yeah.
Learning some new stuff. And
there's a lot to learn.
So where do you see the next, what do you see the next step being?
Probably getting, like, having a website in... going from there as far as being available and not having a place to a storefront, you have to rent and all that stuff.
Or even the farmer's market, which used to be traditionally a farmer's market, was people like us, some crunchy people like us who like to make things, and other crunchy people who like to make things would bring their crunchy items into the farmer's market for like the city folks who don't necessarily have access to those type of things. They come buy it from you.
Yeah.
And it was a free market. They came and looked at your stuff, and if they wanted it, they bought it. If they didn't, they didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But now even the farmer's market is so regulated. And so I wouldn't say it's hard to get into. It's just you got to jump through these hoops and check all these boxes to do that now.
Yeah.
And it's almost not even worth it.
Yeah.
And it would be so awesome to go back to that lifestyle to other like-minded people and build that community back up.
Yeah.
Right? Free market decides what's going to survive and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
What this area needs and what it doesn't need.
Yeah.
We don't need regulations to tell us that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree, Everett?
Yes.
He's so lost.
You can go away.
What, you got something else to say?
I made up a brand name for your store.
What's that?
So it would go Monica's HAB, and then below it, it would be
HAB?
Herbary, apothecary, and bakery.
Oh.
HAB.
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 Come have some of this.
I made something up.
Well, he's homeschooled. You know how they are.
Oh, yeah. Not unsocialized.
Yeah, right. Oh, so I'm going to make a little community note while we're talking about community. Everything we talk about is going to go back to community and stuff like that. Because, I mean, really, at the end of the day, that's all you got. That's really all you have
mm-hmm.
is your surrounding community. maybe your extended community, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's really all we got. I'm not going to name any names, telling stories, but so we talked about homeschooling and community and all that, and Everett, you're homeschooled, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Is that your favorite word?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. So anyway, so Everett's homeschooled, and we talked about you on our podcast. I don't know if you heard that one.
Which one?
About homeschooling.
It was a couple ago.
Anyway, So we talked about your reading and how you're really good at reading and how you compare with, like, public school kids and how they suck at reading because of public school. But anyway, and we talked about the whole socializing people. Well, I don't want to homeschool my kids because they won't be social.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have some friends nearby who homeschool their kids, kind of.
They homeschool.
Yeah. But they also take the younger ones to a preschool to what? To get all socialized.
Socialized.
Okay. So why? You're living in a community where a lot of people in that community homeschool their kids. Why take them into a public school setting, even if it's a little private school, whatever, to get socialization? Why not reach out to your community for that socialization to other like-minded people?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. 1 foot in the matrix.
Yeah.
That's how most people live. I want to raise chickens and make my own bread, but I want to keep one toe in the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. It's either in or out.
Yep.
Right? So I have a small business story that just happened to me today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, perfect day for it because we're talking about small businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go to town today in the big old town of Walterboro to pick up some hay for my aminals and stuff. And so I went to the old farm store here. It's a small business.
Yep.
It's not a tractor supply. It's not like a big thing. It's owned by a husband and wife who've been farming a long time. Know their stuff, and they got good products, and we like to support them. And are they the only farm store that we can go to?
No.
No, but you know why I go there?
Why?
Because of the service, because I operate in the free market, and then I can choose where to go.
Yeah.
I like to go there because I built a relationship with them, and they know me, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
When you support a small business, yeah, you're supporting their dreams and their and things like that, but you also build a relationship with these people. You get to know them, all right? And I don't like to use the word family because they're, oh, we're family now. You know what I mean? I don't know. It kind of is like that. It's like your extended. You think about it. If you go to Walmart and you buy something, you talk to the cashier. Do you think about the cashier later on?
No.
But
just she thinking about.
Yeah, she was rolling her eyes. I was asking her a question, but But yeah, small businesses, you build a relationship with these people. You see them multiple times a week sometimes, and you think about them when you're not there. You might think about something they said or whatever, or do an entire podcast based on a conversation you have with one of the small business owners, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, circling back around. So I went to our farm store today. Well, I went there yesterday actually also to get some stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot what we went for. Feed. Oh, to pick up some feed that I had ordered in. And so I had to come back to get some big round bales for my cows and didn't have room. And she was actually out of them at the moment, but their hay farm is right down the road. So and I asked her, I was like, hey, are you going to have round bales tomorrow? I need to pick up three. And I usually get three, usually the same thing. And they know that because they know me. And so she's like, they'll be here tomorrow. I'll set three aside for you. Make sure I got three for you when you show up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got there today, you hadn't even heard this yet.
Mm-mm.
All right. So when I got there this morning, I walked in and there was two people ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
So she was helping them out, but she knew what I was there for. And one of her helpers were walking in behind me. She yells at the kid and say, you need to turn back around and go get Tanner loaded up. He needs three small round bales.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, what else you need? I told her, I need 20 bags of blended pine chips from my stalls. And she said, gotcha. And that was it. Turn around, walked out.
Yeah.
I mean, how much better can service get?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't just because I'm one of her preferred customers. It wasn't anything like that. Well, I'm not one of her favorite people, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that she knew she could help me out in 3 seconds instead of making me wait 5-10 minutes till I got up there.
Yeah.
And she handled business because the relationship that I built with her, over the last several years in their store.
Yeah.
And where else would that have happened? I mean, I was in and out of there, and she got all of us in and out of there. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just she was helping me over these two people. It was she got me. It was efficient.
Mm-hmm.
She got me out of there. She helped the other people. The other two people left before I did.
Yeah.
Because I had to get loaded up. But, yeah, it's that small business mindset. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Small business are the backbone of America.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so hard for people to start small businesses now, because the so-called leaders don't want us thriving and living happy lives through mm-hmm. small businesses and making, you know, money and supporting each other and just being happy.
Yeah.
I really believe it's an engineered attack on small businesses.
Yeah.
And they want us all corralled, so to speak, into corporations and whatnot, and just checking boxes and going home and sitting in front of TV.
Yeah.
You work your 40 hours, you go home, barely pay your bills. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to pay your taxes.
Oh.
Don't forget to pay your taxes.
Don't do that.
And we're going to raise them next year.
Ugh.
But we're not going to tell you. But we're going to tell you. We're going to raise them. But we're not going to raise your paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you're going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, anyway. That's my 2 cents on small business.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? You're going to say no because you just want to get out of here and edit.
Why do you want to edit so much, huh?
So I can get it posted. Hmm?
We have till tomorrow.
We can get it out a day early if you want to.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ooh,
what? That was weird.
Weird.
Yes.
Stop talking.
Stop. Yes. Right. Do you have a word of the day?
I do, actually.
You have a word.
And yay. I don't know where... why this popped into my head. Simpatico.
Ooh.
How would you define that?
Simpatico? I think of balance.
Balance?
Yeah.
Everett, have you ever even heard the word simpatico?
I'll take that as a no. Pinocchio.
No.
Pinocchio.
Simpatico. So I think the reason I thought of it was I was talking, I think, to April about the relationship of my sheep and cows.
Yeah.
And I almost use that term just to explain it. You're simpatico. But I was like, is that the right word to use for that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of see it.
Yeah.
Like a close relationship. You get along well. You're right for each other.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I would explain it. Well, let's find out if I could even spell it. Sim. I haven't looked it up.
Okay.
Not at all. Simpatico. I got it right here. Simpatico, meaning dead space, dead air, waiting on the internet. Okay, here we go. Simpatico means having shared qualities or interests, and it describes people who are like-minded or easy to get along with. The term comes from Italian and Spanish, where it means nice or likable.
Hmm.
So we're kind of close. What did you say?
I said balance.
Balance. It's not quite, but
not quite. I'm off.
But you mean, I mean, guess it could somewhat, it can get you in the ballpark, right?
Yep.
So that's the word, simpatico. We learned something today. Everett, yeah. Did you learn anything today?
Yes.
Yes.
Gosh. Right.
Oh, man. How long have we been on here? This feels like a short one.
2 hours.
Under an hour.
Under an hour.
Yep.
What exact time is it?
51 minutes.
51 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get to where I can, like, how I'm good at time management.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it. I'm great
at time management.
And I'm trying to get to where I can, like, get that hour time frame.
Yeah.
Like, in my head and start wrapping up, climbing, plateau, descend.
Yeah. But the thing
like how I structured that, climbing, plateau, descend.
Anyway.
It's like flying an airplane.
Oh, my gosh. But you could start heading toward the end in 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, you're still.
And ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what that's what the circus of the mind's about. How many times I'm surprised I haven't said Cirque du Soleil yet?
Yeah.
The first couple of podcasts, I had to, like, really picture Psyche.
Cirque du Psyche.
Like, squinting one eye right now, looking off into the distance, intently picturing the word psyche and not soleil. What does soleil mean? Soul? Circus of the soul?
Cirque du Soleil.
Soleil? Soleil. I don't know. I don't care. It's weird. I watched it on TV one time. It's cool, but it was weird. You know what was really cool, though? And I've told you about it. And I've tried to find it, and I cannot find it. And it kind of reminded me of Cirque du Soleil, that production. And it, like, I think it's cool because it's people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not CGI. I don't know how it is now, but that's why I thought it was so cool, because it was people doing this stuff. It was a huge production. It was super cool. So when I was in Prague, the Czech Republic, me and my buddy Lane, mm-hmm. telling you about, he found this play. Did I ever tell you about that? The play?
No.
Like the little theater thing?
No.
And at first I was like, bro, why do you want to go watch a play? I'm thinking like Fiddler on the Roof or something.
Yeah.
Dude, this was amazing. And it wasn't a big place. Prague's not like a huge place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really old. And so a lot of the buildings are like, it's got that really old architecture and stuff. And a lot of the markets and that pizza place I told you about
yeah.
are like kind of inside the old castle walls and stuff. So this is a really old, cool, historic place.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in there and it's got like a little front area where you buy your tickets. And we go there, sit down, and it's about the size of maybe two theaters put together. That's mm-hmm. it. It's not a huge place. And it was a story of a man who he's losing his childhood innocence. Like his inner child is dying because of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like he hates his job. Things are going so they don't tell you this. You pick up on it, mm-hmm. right? And so it was me, Lane, and the two other ding-dongs that came with us. We're all sitting there watching it. Surprisingly, I was the one least interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted to go hang out with my Irish buddy in the pub, mm-hmm. right? And he used to make awesome Irish food for us Irish potatoes, and I was hungry. I wasn't interested in it. So we sit there, and I'm staring and thinking, I'm still thinking it's going to be like Fiddler on the Roof type of thing, you know, play straight up Romeo and Juliet or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this guy walks in. And he's all black, like his whole body. It's like a black, like bodysuit on. You can't see any details.
Yeah,
the lighting was awesome, like colors and stuff. And all only color on him was a tie, like a comically large tie.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell he's walking like he's all sad and defeated, right? And he goes and lays down like in his bed, bro. I don't know how they did this. He lays down, disappears, and a child sits up.
Ew.
And it's like his inner child, and you follow his inner child to these crazy adventures.
Jeez.
Like he's running from like these big spiders, and when the spiders are chasing them, they have people in spider suits sneak up on you and grab you in the audience. And by the end of this thing, man, I was so devoted. Like I wanted to see it every day while we were there.
Oh my gosh.
It was amazing. And it was just a bunch of people doing amazing things, and I don't know how they did it. It was awesome.
Mm.
How did we get here?
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil. But I think, jeez. So I watched Cirque du Soleil on TV, and I liked that little one better.
Mm.
It was a story. By the end of it, everybody was like, why did we sit here? I'm like, bro, did y'all not get that? Did y'all understand what the world's doing to us all? Our inner child is dying. So anyway, it was awesome. I cannot think of the name of it, but it was so cool.
Mm.
I don't know if they travel to other places, because if they came here, I would totally take y'all and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do not want to go to Prague. Don't go to Prague.
Mm-mm.
Which Prague?
It's a... in the Czech Republic, somewhere near Germany. It's a pretty sketchy area.
Yes.
Have you ever seen... you moron. Have you ever seen Jason Bourne?
Oh, yeah. I saw
one of them. It was a bridge, a famous bridge. You could sit next to that bridge, because a bridge, you kind of come into like downtown Prague.
Mm-hmm.
And you could sit there. If you sit there long enough, you'll see somebody propose.
Oh, gosh.
It's a very famous spot for people to propose.
Jeez.
Yeah, and you sit there like I saw a couple while I was there. And I don't know why. I can't remember why exactly, but it was also a famous scene in one of the Jason Bourne movies, too.
Mm.
But also people propose to each other and stuff.
Mm.
When I first time I drove over, we're in a BMW 135i listening to MIA. Paper Planes.
Oh my gosh.
You know that song I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I was actually sleeping, and then my buddy Lane, he was in a passenger seat and he like cranked it up real loud and it like startled me and would just hit the bridge. I was like, oh, we're here. And then we drove in into downtown banging MIA paper planes. I think it was what it's called, paper planes.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, memories.
Yeah. Sure. That
plate was so cool though. Yeah, I wish I could remember what it was called. Anyway, we are Cirque du Psyche. Not to be confused with Cirque du Soleil.
No. You got anything, Everett? You want to tell the peeps bye?
Bye.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a very simple child.
Yeah.
Simple.
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 Anyway.
Gosh.
So, I want to say hi to somebody.
Who are you going to say hi to?
Somebody that's near and dear to us. One of our most faithful listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Aunt Leanne.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Aunt Leanne.
Hello, Aunt Leanne. We love you. It's good seeing you yesterday. Thanks for listening.
Hi.
We hope your blackberries grow and thrive.
Yes.
So, yeah. Is that it?
I think that's it.
I guess I'm done rambling.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. You got anything to add?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Everett, do you have any normal, cohesive thoughts to add to the end of the podcast here without making any weird noises? And
no.
Oh my gosh, what's your next goal? Like, if you had a goal ladder, you know what, like a ladder, each you got a rung, a step, mm-hmm. and you're climbing the ladder. Okay, so you're on this rung and you got to get to the next rung in your small business. How do you visualize yourself getting to that next rung? What's your plans to get there? Are we still recording?
We are.
Maybe get to a point where I get enough money to buy my own incubator.
Okay. All right. That's good. Yeah. I like it. Good.
Good.
Good goal. Cool. Okay. All right. Gosh. Let's get out of here. All right, we're getting out of here. Small businesses are the backbone of America. We need more of them. If you have a small business idea, fight through the bureaucratic stupidity and start your business.
Yep.
I should come up with another small business idea. Mm. What do you envision me doing if I had to say, hey, give me a small business idea?
I know exactly. You'd be a gunsmith.
Oh, yeah, I already am.
I know, but like
opening a gunsmith.
An actual store.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I think I like cleaning and working on guns more than I like shooting them. I took that one rifle apart and put it back together today.
Yeah.
Did I need to?
No.
I just never took that rifle apart before. I wanted to see how it's put together.
Jeez.
And it was awesome. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
That might be. I'm looking into that.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're good.
Yes.
All right.
Bye.
All right. We'll see you all on the next one. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
Bye.